It is wonderful to be at Bethel again. It's a delight to be able to speak to the audience this morning. You are a congregation that needs to be commended for your good works, and we appreciate you so very, very much. I think it was the last time I was here. We drove by your building, and it was laying on the ground. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's when the tornado hit. But you have rebuilt, and you need to be commended for that. I have been looking around for something, and it's missing. You don't have it. I don't know if that's a decision by the eldership or the deacons. And as a preacher, I'm glad it's not here. There's no clock in here. What does that mean? Jimmy, what does that mean? Just preach on and on and on. He's not saying anything. He knows better. But anyway, it's great to be with you. The first song that we sang this morning talks about the strength of God. Ideas contained in that song. I had never heard that song before. But I would imagine that all of us know the sentiments, the ideas contained in that song. That when difficulties do come, that we have the presence of God, we have His strength, His power, to be able to help us through those difficult times. That's the basic sentiment of that song. As a preacher, I have shared those ideas with audiences everywhere, from South Africa to the States, to Ghana, to Liberia, Nigeria, Zimbabwe. I've preached the same message. God is our strength. He's our stronghold. He truly will be there when the problems and the difficulties come. I've preached that message. But let me share with you this morning that it is this year that I have come to understand what I have been preaching all along. It's one thing for us to say God is our strength, but it's quite another thing dealing with the problems that come as a result of living and trying to make application to the very thing that we have taught and preached and believed. It is when an individual begins to experience the problems that you begin to understand what the strength of God really means. Isaiah has a short little chapter of only 6 verses. Most of his chapters are rather lengthy and filled with ideas about life, about Christianity, even though it was written back in the Old Testament period of time. But in these 6 verses, he is projecting his thoughts to the time that Jesus would reign as the Messiah. The kingdom, the church would be here. And so he says in verse 1, "Then you will say on that day, when the church is here, when Christianity is reigning, you will say on that day, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, For although thou wast angry with me, thine anger has been turned away. Behold, Isaiah says, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. And He has become my salvation. Therefore, Isaiah says, you will rejoice in drawing water spiritually from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known His deeds among His people. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. I mentioned in the class, in the presentation, that 2014 has been, for my wife and I, not a year that can be compared to any other year. It's been a year that I have asked a number of times, why? I'm reminded of Gideon in the Old Testament in Judges chapter 6. It was a difficult time for him. And I would imagine that in his life and in the family's life, there were times when they, in a sense, shouted for joy because of the presence of God in their life. They had heard about all of the great miracles that God had done for His people in the past. And they rejoiced because of that. Oh, they remembered so well the story about being released, their people being released from Egyptian bondage, and the problems that they experienced, not only in Egypt, but even after they left. But also they remembered those times that God delivered them and had helped them in so many different ways. All of that history was known to Gideon and his family and many other people throughout the land. But now, things were different. The enemy had come in, the Midianites. And the description in Judges chapter 6 indicates that they were an extremely cruel people. They made life very difficult for the Jewish people. Yes, the Jewish people, I guess in a sense, as we look back upon their history, we could very well say they deserved it simply because of their rebellion against God and the sin in their life and the things that they were doing. But life was still hard, so difficult that Gideon and many of the Jews had to forsake their homes, and they were living in the caves in the mountains, afraid of what the Midianites would do to them. And the Midianites waited for harvest time. The Jews would plant their crops, anticipating the harvest and the food that they would have from that. But about the time that it was time to go and harvest the crops, the Midianites would swarm the land and take everything that they had. Gideon was living in a cave with his family. Difficult place and a difficult situation to have your family. But he was trying. There at the mouth of the cave, he had planted some wheat for his family. And no doubt he would come out from day to day, especially when the harvest time was near, he would come out and look all around to see if the Midianites were swarming, if they were coming yet. But on one day, when he was out, ready to harvest, the little crop there at the mouth of the cave. He was doing it actually in a wine press. And when I read the story, I thought, now that's unusual. Wheat being processed in a wine press. That's normally used for grapes. But I suspect that the reason that he was doing it is because that was all he had. And the angel came to him and spoke to him. A message from God. I don't know whether it was a loud voice or a soft little voice. We don't know, but it got Gideon's attention. And the angel said to him, Gideon, the Lord is with you, O mighty warrior. Two things that one could argue, as Gideon did, with the angel about that statement. The Lord is with you. God was saying to Gideon through the angel, the Lord is with you. Gideon's reply immediately was, how can you say that the Lord is with me? Just look around. You must be talking about someone else. We've heard about the miracles. But how can you say the Lord is with you? Why is all of this happening to us if the Lord is with us? I suspect that many of you have been through your problems, your difficulties, and maybe you have even asked the question, why? When I first read the story some time ago when I taught it at the Bible College, I thought, how could a Jew, Gideon, how could he be so upfront and ask such a question to God, to their God, that had done so much for the nation? But when you began to experience the problems and difficulties, and sometimes those problems can be very hard to deal with, especially if you've got a future that you're thinking about, things that you want to do, you can very well say, why is all of this happening? I don't understand. Without going into an elaborate discussion on God's response to Gideon, let me say that his response was simple. Go do something. Go make a difference. And you will see the difference. I preached a series of sermons in Benoni, South Africa, some time ago. And the title of the series of sermons was Just Do It. And I really believe that that was God's answer to Gideon. Just do it. Find something to do. Don't argue about whether it ought to happen or should happen, or maybe it should have happened to a neighbor or someone else. Just get up and make a difference in someone's life. I believe that was God's answer. Oh, that is so easy to say. Until the dawn of 2014. I wasn't supposed to have cancer. Maybe somebody else, but not me. Because after all, I've got too many things I need to do before I hang it up, as I had often said. We got through the hurdle, as I stated in the Bible class, and we were ready to go back to South Africa. We had our ticket, ready to board the airplane. And then all of a sudden, my wife falls. She ends up in the emergency room. And it's confirmed that she has had multiple strokes. And we're still trying to figure out why. And this particular passage of Scripture has meant more to me this year than any other passage I could have read. And the passage only really becomes meaningful when the problems do come in your life. And God truly is our strength. And can I say, I would have hated to face 2014 if God was not my strength. Then the same author, it is Isaiah, in chapter 40, at the end of that chapter, still talking about the messianic reign, that period of time when the kingdom, the church, is here. And starting in verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is known. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks, may he increase power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. And that is what has happened to us this year. God is truly our strength. Also, I mentioned in the Bible class that we have begun to do some writing. And one of the books that I'm working on right now is based upon the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation has been interpreted in a number of different ways. But I believe that there is one message contained in this book, and that's the hope that we have in Christ Jesus when problems and difficulties come. I've gone back and I've looked at the history of the church at the time that the book was written. It had started off in a great way. It could not have been a more exciting time than Acts chapter 2 and the preceding, or the chapters on after that, chapter 3, chapter 4, and so forth. It was an exciting time. The church was growing. Chapter 2, the church was born. 3,000 people baptized. You couldn't stop it, not only because of God's involvement, but because of the excitement of the early Christians. They had found something that had been talked about throughout the ages, and now they were there to experience it. It was a marvelous time. Can you imagine the excitement there on that day, the day of Pentecost, when they began to baptize and ended up baptizing the 3,000 people? I don't know how long it took, but it was an exciting time. Oh, they began to experience some problems with the Jews, but they could not dampen the spirit of the church. But it just got worse and worse. The persecution came not only from the Jews, the leadership of the Jewish nation, but also from the political figures around the country. Life became extremely difficult. It was problems eating. They had to have certain things to be able to buy and to trade. They didn't have the stamp of the beast, as the book of Revelation says. They couldn't buy their food unless they had the stamp. Life was hard. Life was difficult. And John writes under the inspiration of God is saying that in this difficult time, God is your strength and you are going to win. You're going to be victorious. But he says it in a most unusual way. Isaiah says it with words. God is our strength. It's a message that we need to listen to. But John sees it in a different way. He sees it happening in visions. He sees, doesn't hear, he sees the strength of God and God's involvement. You can read the seven letters to the seven churches of Asia, and you can pinpoint their problems that they were experiencing at the time, from persecution, from leaving their first love. The motivation for living was gone for whatever reason, and it could have been the persecution. They didn't have the concern about one another. They were becoming involved. Many of the Christians were becoming involved in the religious affairs around them, maybe in an effort to try to decrease the persecution. I don't know. But it was hard. It was difficult. And as a result of that, they were living in a time when they were beginning to slip away and going their own way. All of that is stated in the seven churches that the book of Revelation was actually written to. But there is one chapter that makes seeing God's strength and God's power really, truly come alive. Chapter 12. We're not going to go into all of the details of chapter 12. But Satan there is presented, and John sees this. It's not just a description of words, but he sees it. And what he sees is a picture of Satan and what he can do and is doing to our world. And he is pictured as a giant, ugly, vicious, mean dragon. I think the King James uses the word serpent. But it's vicious, horrible, destructive. And it was not something that was in one little corner of the earth. But this dragon is pictured, and John sees it pictured so big, so awesome, so powerful, so clever, that the sweep of its tail will destroy the third of the stars. And it's a picture of Satan. The question has got to be asked by all of us. How in the world could you ever defeat something like that? He's going to have his way simply because of who he is and what he is and what he can do. And the fact that he is so clever. In fact, he's pictured as a dragon with seven heads. Intellect. He knows what he's doing. Destructive. And it is that same devil, Satan, that is at work in our world today. And so, oftentimes, do we not? We complain about how bad the world is becoming, even our own country, even our own communities. And we're so depressed at times that we tend to draw back and say there's nothing that we can do to change what is going on in our world. And one, when he sees this image of Satan, you can very well say, what in the world can we do? There's nothing. You remember when you were a kid? A young child? Maybe in school you had a reader that pictured dragons, these fire-eating and spewing dragons in the books. Some of them were good dragons, some of them were bad. The dragon that John sees is huge. What can they do? I love how this chapter ends. Let me put it, without all of the details in the chapter, let me put it in a simple way, that what I believe is being said. It's almost as if Satan is on a stage and he's playing his part. This huge, gigantic dragon. And it just seems like there's nothing that can touch it. If its tail can destroy the stars in the sky, what can he do to the earth? It just seems like it's his will. And nobody is there to stop him. He's on a stage. Picture it. See it. Use your imagination. And then the scene changes. Off on the side of the stage, something appears. What is it? It's a little lamb. What can Satan do to a little lamb? If he can destroy the stars, one sweep of the tail and the lamb is history. But it was a little lamb, and guess what happens? The little lamb destroys the dragon. You know who the lamb is. It's Jesus our Lord. What is it saying in this vision, this image? It is saying, I want my people to know in Ephesus, Smyrna, Thyatira, Philadelphia, Sardis, Laodicea, Bethel, Knoxville, Benoni. I want my people to know that Satan is powerful, but there is a more powerful influence in the world. And it is Jesus and his teachings, his life, and how his people live their life. This is why I've got to write about Revelation. I needed that. I needed that message. I need to understand it. I need to see it in order that I might be convinced beyond doubt that the God we serve is the most powerful influence on the planet. He is our strength and our power. And as Isaiah says, I will not be afraid. That's our God. That's whom we serve. And when I say that, I'm thinking, in 1963, there was a man that sat down and taught us the gospel. And we responded to it. In September of 1963, my wife and I became Christians. And from that day on, I believe without any doubt, God has been my strength, my stronghold. And I'm learning the best I can not to be afraid of Satan. He truly is our strength. He is our salvation. And it's all going to be okay. Revelation is saying to us how important it is that one day we will leave this earth and go to heaven. I'm ready. But also it's saying to us that right now, this moment, this second, God is our stronghold and He is our strength to fight against all of the stuff that's going on in our world that might affect you. Can I say it again? I needed not only to learn the principles, but I needed to see those principles in action. And that's why God gave us the book of Revelation. He is alive. He is our Savior. We can know it and see it in the book of Revelation. I truly appreciate you listening. And I hope that the message has been meaningful to you. As important as this message is, there is something else that we do when we get together, in my opinion, is probably more important than anything we might do. You know what it is? To offer the invitation of God. Please understand that what we're about to do, we're not going to offer our invitation. It's not really the invitation of the church, but it is the invitation of God. I've told our students a number of times that when you go out on Sunday to preach at a congregation someplace, and when you stand up, have this mindset, this attitude in your mind, that you're there because God or Jesus could not be there physically. Spiritually, He is always there. And so you're going to stand in His place because He could not be here. If somehow, just for emphasis' sake and for illustration, while I was preaching this morning, if Jesus walked into this building, you know what I would do? I'd sit down and let Him have it. Physically this morning, He couldn't be here. And so we're filling in for Him. If He could offer the invitation this morning, I would, at a moment's notice, sit down and let Him offer the invitation. But He cannot be here physically. So we're going to offer the invitation on behalf of our God. And so I say to you this morning, on behalf of God, if you need to respond to His invitation, please make it known right now. If you need to become a Christian, to begin your journey with Him, make the decision right now. Right now. Have faith in Him. Believe in Him. Repent of your sins. Confess His name. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's my Lord. And to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Right now, let's do it. Where the gather we stand and sing.